answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
In the day, the president talked about this agreement, what it means, and what happens if it isn't enforced.
It's a memorandum of understanding. If it doesn't get done in 60 days, that's all right. We go back to bombing. You know, I don't want to do that because it's so good. But we might have to because we're never going to let them have a nuclear weapon. But they've agreed not to, and you'll see that very clearly in the agreement. We're not putting up money. Only if they're doing things right. If they're doing things right, if people want to invest, they can invest.
Now again, that's President.
On Wednesday, a U.S. official read the agreement to reporters. Within the deal includes an immediate end to hostilities across the region, including in Lebanon. The final deal must be reached within 60 days with the possibility of an extension. This is related to Iran's nuclear program and the details that are yet to be discussed. The U.S. naval blockade of Iranian ports will end. The Strait of Hormuz will open, and the Iranians will receive tiered sanctions relief based on their performance and their agreements with the United States.
Trey Yingst, and I apologize because I was interrupting him before he completed his report on what is inside the Memorandum of Understanding. It's basically an agreement to make an agreement when you get down to it. Many are pushing back against it. That includes Republicans that would normally be with Trump. And then you got many that are also saying, well, he only did it because he's worried about his political future. Because of oil prices and other prices going up for the American people. Vice President Vance today, during a news conference, said the peace plan is already, quote, bearing real fruits for the American people. And he went directly to the issue that many are saying is a reason why Trump is getting out of this now and not going with a good deal. I have my views on the deal. I'll give you some indication, but I did it in great detail in the first hour. If you missed the first hour, remember you can always pull up a podcast of Larry Connors USA. You pull it up at News Talk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and Larry Connors USA Facebook. And when you do, please share it with others. Believe me, that first hour is gold. You need to share it with your family and friends. And I say, send it to your enemies as well. Send it to those with Trump derangement syndrome. See if maybe it will sway them. But Vance today announcing that 12 plus million barrels of oil went through the Strait of Hormuz last night, noting that is a high since the beginning of the conflict. Announcing today, he did not, but he had added what the AAA had reported, gas prices dropping below $4 a gallon for the first time since the conflict, and adds that they will continue to drop. He said on the military side for the Iranians, for a second night in a row, they did not shoot at any ships in the Strait of Hormuz. So far, they are honoring their end of the commitment, and our end is that we will withdraw the blockade and let ships pass through. And in fact, we already have. We allowed, listen to this, we allowed an Iranian ships, three of them, two very large crude carriers, each with 2 million barrels of oil, to make their way through the Gulf of Oman Wednesday, headed for destinations in Asia. Those two and still another ship are owned by the National Iranian Tanker Company, which was sanctioned by the U.S. Treasury Department back in October 2020. During Trump's first term for providing income to the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, a designated terrorist organization. So now we know this money will probably go back into the hands of their terrorists. But Trump is giving them the opportunity between that and investments by either private or other countries, not the USA, to rebuild their country and make it viable again for the people. But the key is, the leaders of the regime do not care about the people. I got more to break down on that for you as we move forward. I do want to point out that Ukraine launched one of its largest drone attacks on Moscow since the Russian full-scale invasion. they struck a major refinery in the Russian capital, sending thick black smoke over parts of Moscow. The Moscow oil refinery, one of their key fuel facilities, hit overnight. The second reported strike on that site in 3 days. As it's described by one Moscow resident, this is pure hell. Ukraine is going to continue to go after Russia. And we're acknowledging, we're making note of it. We're not getting involved, but we are supplying Ukraine as needed. Welcome to Second Hour of Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. You're going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. And later this hour, grooming children for pedophiles. Are you listening? Are you listening? Grooming children for pedophiles? I'll have that story. And also, climate alarmists shouting the World Cup soccer is going to ruin our world and destroy our atmosphere. Kicking a soccer ball around is going to destroy our environment. Of course, their claims go deeper than just kicking a soccer ball around. I'll get into that for you before we wrap up today. Now, back to the Iran deal. There are those, even those that would side normally with Trump, are saying it's not a good deal, it's a bad deal overall. MSN Now, a leftist organization, questioning their correspondent, David Rowe.
What else is actually in here tangibly already figured out?
Virtually nothing.
Okay.
And that's why this is such a victory and a surprise, really, for Iran. And it's actually reopening the strait on Iran's terms. There's still a possibility here for Iran to charge tolls, that it can take control of the strait, a power it has never had before. And that's what won the war for Iran. It was closing the strait. The most revealing statements, David Sanger said this in the New York Times, was Trump's statement, "I don't want to be Herbert Hoover." I had to check my history lessons.
Yeah. But take us through the annals, yeah.
Well, I was, you know, World War I and other things, but he essentially went down in history as causing and mishandling the Great Depression. And so the president's bravado through all these weeks that, you know, we're winning and we're, you know, bombing the hell out of them, you know, beneath it, they used economic levers, they used shutting the Strait of Hormuz, they used a global energy crisis to win this war.
What we really would have wanted would be Iran to sign unconditional surrender. They didn't do that. They're not going to do that because they're going to continue to be at war with us. And what David Rowe failed to mention, well, they got what they wanted by closing the strait, and they can do it again. Oh, they could do it again, and we can damn well respond, and Trump says we will. And he wants to basically play Trump as he's just a fake puppet saying that we're winning when we're really not. We have decimated the Iranian military and their capability, sunk their navy, destroyed their planes, hit most of their missile batteries, wiped out what they had been doing on nuclear production. I'd say that's a victory. Is it forever? No. And Trump recognizes that, but he's trying to bring an end to this, not just for your fuel prices, not just for his political victory, but for your children and your grandchildren. Do you get that? And while he says we're going to let the blockade, we're going to back off the blockade, a question got raised to him. Well, what are you going to do regarding U.S. forces in that region?
How long will you leave the U.S. military in the Gulf?
It's a good question. We haven't thought of it. We're really probably a while. It's a good place to stay. I would say a little while, see how it all goes. I think it's going to go well, but we'll see.
Now, I would disagree with what he said. Well, we hadn't thought about what would happen if we back off. There's no way they have not thought, what do we do if we back off? What's the next stage? This is not a retreat. It's an agreement to try to get things moving forward. Now there's a 60-day window to begin talks to formalize the memorandum of understanding. Look for, and it's already been pointed out by some, that this could well lead to another extension. Yes, it could. But if the shooting is stopped, that is a plus. And yes, if Iran is going to continue to try to close the strait, they're going to be hit again. And we have not hit them at their hardest part. We did not hit Karg Island as was threatened. So don't tell me that Iran has won the war. I'm not saying we have actually won it. You want to call it a stalemate? I'll go with you on that. But I do know that right now Iran has been served notice front and center, no nukes. But again, that's still to be discussed and worked out over the next 60 days. You will want to hear what Mark Levin has to say in his view about the Iranian deal, and I'll have that coming up shortly. Mark Levin, powerful conservative patriot. I have a lot of things I like about him. I'm not sure I go with him on his remarks this time around. You'll hear that coming up before we wrap up the hour. And the other thing to keep in mind, NATO suddenly is indicating, oh, we're willing to get involved and help out. Oh, yeah, sure. Now that we have done all the heavy lifting and put a blockade in place, not one NATO nation came forward to help with that blockade when we were doing it. Now they're indicating that we'll do if we can. In fact, the NATO UN General Secretary, the NATO Secretary General, has said he thinks this deal is a good deal. All right, let me turn the corner for you. We switch gears a lot on this program. If you've ever listened before, you know that we are going to change gears a lot. So as I will point out again, you need to buckle up because we come out of the gates every day like a bull charging. I want to deal with anti-Semites who are always trying to destroy Israel and mocking the leadership. And I want to point specifically to Hillary Clinton. When she did serve as Secretary of State, she claims in a recent interview that Benjamin Netanyahu was always, and maybe still, playing the USA.
When I was secretary, it was a constant, theme by Netanyahu and his then government, the then defense minister, Ehud Barak, the former prime minister. Mm-hmm. It was relentless. It was a constant push. You know, I remember...
What would he say to you?
What?
What would he say to you?
He would basically say... you need to support us in attacking Iran. And back then, this was, 2009 to the end of 2012, we had more capacity than Israel did on several fronts to do that. And so there was a constant argument that we would have. And I remember one day, I was on the phone for hours with Ehud, with Bibi, with others, and they would say things like, our planes are on the tarmac. And I'd say, well, good luck.
I don't doubt that what she's saying is accurate. I don't doubt that. Maybe I do a little bit, but that was the attitude with the Obama administration toward Israel. They were not doing everything Bibi wanted. Plus or minus, and I'm not saying that everything he wanted, we wanted to do and should do. That was an interview with Hillary carried out by the APT network. The APT standing for accurate, powerful, timely news. Yeah, I'm just telling you what it stands for, and you make your own decision. But Hillary continued.
You would say things.
You're saying you were being played.
All the time. All the time. I mean,
by an ally that receives an enormous amount of aid.
Well, of course. And look, Bibi's been obsessed as long as I've dealt with him with two things: Iran, as you know, and his desire to normalize relations with Saudi Arabia. The first formal meeting I had with him in 2009, probably March, at the State Department, it was absolutely, you know, how can we get normalization with Saudi Arabia and how do we totally decapitate Iran? And he had this view that I think has become very clear in his, you know, dealings with Trump. Number one, decapitate the regime, it will fall. Number two, do enough bombing against enough critical infrastructure, try to, you know, disable the military insofar as possible, the people will rise up. And that was just never our read about what was going to happen, in part because this is a ruthless, theocratic regime that at least at the top levels, the clerical level, has a kind of apocalyptic view of their own importance in the struggle against Israel, the United States, the West.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton under Obama, recognizing Iran was a ruthless regime. Well, of course Bibi was concerned about that. They're on their doorstep. Did he try to push the U.S. into doing more? I'm sure he did. Would you not do that if you were in that position? I don't care what your religion is, your gender, or anything else. If you have a threat against you, do you not want help in destroying the enemy and constantly pushing for it? Of course. But I got the impression by listening to that that they were just kind of behind doors, kind of snickering at Bibi. I don't like that at all. These are people trying to survive. I'm not going to go along with the fact that they were playing and continue to play us. The reality is there. Iran is a ruthless terrorist threat to Israel, Jews, the world. And now we're trying to find a way to have peace. Trump showing I'm not going to be a war hawk and go after everything, which he could have, but he's trying to bring some stability back. Coming up before we wrap up the hour, more on the Iran deal, Mark Levin's take, but first, grooming children for pedophiles, documented. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beale Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beale to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
See the ways of this world just bring you to tears. Keep the Lord in your heart and you'll have nothing to fear. Live the best that you can and don't lie and don't steal. Keep your nose on the grindstone and out of the pills. Well, Daddy, I've been trying. I just can't catch a break. There's too much in this world I can't seem to shake.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the UK's independent rape gang inquiry has released their 219-page report on the so-called grooming gangs that have been sexually exploiting girls throughout the UK for more than 70 years. And what they found is worse than the Epstein files, which is probably why you're not going to hear a whole lot about it from the media. In fact, not one single story yet on any of the major news networks, the New York Times, the Washington Post, or the Wall Street Journal. So here's what investigators found. Buckle up. They estimate at least 250,000 girls across the UK, predominantly white, have been sexually assaulted by so-called grooming gangs since the 1950s. As much as 95% of the abusers were Pakistani men, and the first-hand accounts are almost too vile to describe. Women, including young girls, have been drugged, trafficked, gang-raped, tortured, and passed around like community garbage bags by Muslim men who were led into the United Kingdom and their descendants.
That is shocking. Shameful. Disgusting. And it should break your heart. That was Brittany Hughes with the Media Research Center talking about a June 2026 UK report. This month, issued this month. Now, I'm going to sound redundant as we move through part of this segment, and I mean to sound redundant. She pointed out their report showing that 250,000 girls were suffered in rape, trafficking, and torture forced by grooming gangs upon them. And most of those creating the crimes against them were Muslims, specifically Pakistan, in the report as cited. But not just those from Pakistan. Muslim men who supposedly are adhering to the Quran and creating harm against women. $250,000. Can you stop to imagine that? What's the population of your town? What's the population if you go to Busch Stadium? Look at Busch Stadium. Let's just start there. Every seat filled with a young woman who was trafficked, tortured, raped repeatedly, sold into a den of slavery, sex slavery. Imagine that. We continue with Brittany Hughes' report.
Multiple women have described being assaulted by large groups of men as part of Islamic religious rituals. The report also describes widespread efforts by British authorities and town councils to downplay, ignore, or outright cover up these crimes for fear of being called racist and Islamophobic.
Yep,
authorities, including social services, consistently failed to report the race of the perpetrators or the religious motivation behind the crimes. Investigators said that in 13,000 cases, Keir Starmer, who's now the British Prime Minister, but who was formerly the director of public prosecutions, reportedly dropped charges against men found to be sex trafficking girls and let them off with a warning note. Almost all of them were Pakistani Muslims. Many victims who tried to get help said they were handed birth control instead. In fact, multiple women said they were sent back to their abusers after local health and social services declined to help. One girl was found to have multiple internal injuries and STDs in her throat and genitals. She was handed back to her Muslim abuser anyway.
And they gave him a note. You shouldn't do that. I don't know that they gave him a note. That's my own statement. But yeah, calling it out, you might be called Islamophobic, right? The research conducted by two groups that combined efforts to combat so-called Islamophobia, the British Future, as it's known, and the British Muslim Trust, monitored so-called Islamophobia and found that 57% of those in the UK agreed with the idea that it is possible for Muslims and non-Muslims to live well together in towns and cities around the UK. They think it is possible. I think it is possible if you don't have rapist, jihadist Muslims preying upon children, especially girls. The research conducted by the British Future think tank and the British Muslim Trust of 2,000 living inside the UK found 17% strongly agree the growth in the Muslim population poses a foundational threat to the culture of the United Kingdom. Only 17% strongly agree. And this kind of number comes out, 250,000 women going back decades. A majority of those questioned, 52%, said Muslims can be just as British as white non-Muslims, according to the left-wing Guardian newspaper. Now, I'm going to accept that is true, that it can be. It can be, but is it? 19% said they do not agree Muslims born in the UK are as British as white non-Muslims. Now, that could be those they have heard enough stories that they don't trust any Muslim. And that's a shame. I have Muslim friends, and they don't fit any of the category of what we've been describing here. But I told you repeatedly, watch what happens in Europe. It'll be coming to our doorstep. Already is, in many ways. But they open their doors and let immigrants in, unvetted, unchecked. They wanted to come, but they let them come. And now they're trying to shut it down. Various European nations are in the process of doing so. And of course, Joe Biden opened border policy. Many came here. Thank you, Joe Biden. Back to the focus on 250,000 young women, as reported by Media Research Center host Brittany Hughes.
This is real. It's about a billion times bigger than the Epstein files. It is the true story of how a Western nation let demons through its gates and then turned a blind eye while their own women were passed around like a bong because they didn't want to be called racist. It's the story of how mass, unfettered migration ruins civilized nations. And it's the story of how Islam is a violent and perverse ideology that is built on the degradation of women and children. It treats its own women like breeding cattle and non-Muslim women like cheap toys who were put here by Allah to be violated. All cultures are not equal, and this one sucks, and it should be sent back to the hellhole from which it came. And everybody who is complicit in this garbage should be rotting in prison.
And there's not a hell deep enough for these who violated these girls. Forecasters in Britain are predicting, with the current rate of immigration, if it continues in Britain, native white Britons are set to become a minority in their homeland by 2063. This is not some climate hoax alarmist issue. This is based on what is happening right in front of them. It's not a matter about protecting white. It's not even a matter of protecting British heritage. It is a matter of how the culture will change because of what they're allowing to happen. And in Ireland, there's an Irish armed group that is fed up with their communities allowing military age migrants inside Ireland.
To the people of Newry, Moore and Down, we, the New Republican Movement, have watched their councillors and MLAs over the past 12 months. The level of disrespect shown to the people who put you into power, this cannot be ignored any longer. We are proud men of Ireland. We are patriots. Your policies and decision-making regards to flooding our communities with undocumented military-aged men is not acceptable. We will not sit back any longer and watch our culture and religion destroyed by the people we put in power. Also, the sexual indoctrination of our children in schools has not went unnoticed either. The New Republican Movement will take immediate action against anyone who threatens our ways of life and the safety of our women and children.
Good. That's in Ireland, taking a stance. And yet inside this nation, we have those still that want to allow migrants of any type, even felons, to not only come here but stay here. And in fact, in the New York City primary for a New York congressional position, a woman endorsed by New York City Mondami said that she is against deportation of any type. That would include deportation for illegals convicted of child sexual abuse, murder, domestic abuse, kidnapping. No. You cannot deport those people. You would be xenophobic. No, I would be protecting my children and your children. The left is hanging on to this thing, and they want to make it the mountain they want to stand on, not only here, but across the world. As I said earlier, for those participating, there is no hell deep enough where I want to put you. Coming up more on the Iran deal.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnersUSA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
It's a very important document, and unlike Obama, who could have destroyed the Middle East with a horrible JCPOA, it is the worst agreement. That was a road to a nuclear weapon. Mine is a wall against a nuclear weapon.
We don't want another nation to go nuclear on us. We already have 9 nuclear nations. You don't need a 10th, especially in the Middle East, because if the Iranians would have gotten one, the Saudis would have gotten one, the Emiratis would have gotten one, and you just don't want to go there, because you treat a non-nuclear nation much different than you treat a nuclear nation. And you know where the president was coming from? It was not diplomacy at the start, but from strength. We're going to show you that we can beat you whenever we want to do it. And we're not going to just talk about it, but we're going to use combat power to prove that. So when you go back to JCPOA, that was in 2015, it's much different than the JCPOA that the president is going to try to get some nuclear deal done now. Let me give you an example. With JCPOA in 2015, there were sunset clauses. Amount of centrifuges they could have, that would expire. The fact they could enrich uranium, that would have expired this year. And they could have gone anywhere they wanted to well into the future. And you don't want that to happen. So what I'm saying is he actually firewalled us, the United States, yeah, for future generations.
That is retired General Keith Kellogg talking about the on Newsmax about the Iran deal, saying he has firewalled us and future generations, because all the stuff that was part of the Obama-Iran deal was sunsetting, and yes, they were going to be able to continue to develop nuclear weapons. And yet today in the news conference, as Vice President Vance is going through it with reporters, he had to make a response because someone asked, are you concerned that Trump will make you the fall guy on Iran when it does not work out? Vance answers, not at all. The very fact that raised such a question. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy has his opinion.
All day long, members of the media in Washington have been running around like lizards on a hot rock. What do you think about the agreement? What do you think about the deal? What if the deal says that? What if the deal doesn't do this? And I'll tell you what I told them. If you don't know, shut up. None of us have seen the document. Here's what I do know, based on what we've done and what the president and vice president have said. I know that the Strait of Hormuz is now open. The blockade on both sides has been lifted. I know that the price of oil and therefore the price of gasoline is coming down. I know that the document is conceptual, about a page and a half. It's basically a deal to make a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Iran is immeasurably weaker than it was a year ago. We have bombed the crap out of them.
And they cannot be denied. It cannot be denied. But the leftists will have you believe all of this is being changed now, and we're stopping what we're doing and not acknowledging, by the way, what we have accomplished. And in part, not just stopping money going to the mullahs so they could build nuclear weapons, but everything else. And Trump trying to find a way to help save the Iranian people and the nation. But, of course, they have to deal with their leadership. And inside our own country, we have members of Congress, Connecticut Senator Murphy saying, as he had said previously, I would be willing to accept a bad deal rather than no deal. Well, you have a deal now here, and you're going to say this is still bad, but you don't want to accept it this way either.
I have been prepared to swallow basically any deal to end the war, and my desire is still to stop this war. I knew the deal was likely going to be bad. I knew the deal was likely going to be humiliating for the United States of America. But I didn't know it was going to be this humiliating. I didn't know the deal was going to be this bad. The war needs to end, basically upon any terms.
There you go. Any terms. Well, we're not giving them a nuclear weapon. But you would accept that? I think he would. Once again, Louisiana Senator Kennedy.
We have bombed the crap out of them. There are huge swaths of Iran that look like something out of Mad Max 4. Iran has never been weaker. We've destroyed most of their nuclear program that we know about. There's their fissile material, most of it anyway, is buried underneath the earth. We've destroyed a lot of their missiles and their drones and their production plants. It'll take 20 years for Iran to recover, and I don't know where they're going to get the money. China's not going to give it to them. We're not. Russia won't give it to them. Now, here's what I don't know. Will Iran make a deal? I don't know. Based on their history, we may be wasting the next 60 to 90 days. These religious zealots that run Iran, they learn to lie before they learn to talk. They think they're on a mission from God. They do. They're crazy as a bedbug.
They are. And again, I'm not 100% sold on the deal as we know it. Kennedy is right. This is just as it's also called, a memo of understanding, and Vance today referred to it as a gentleman's agreement. You can't have a gentleman's agreement with terrorists. Mark Levin, strong patriot. He made a tweet that had a lengthy tweet taking apart the plan as he saw it. He said, and I'm reading from his remarks, President Trump ordered this military operation to prevent Iran from getting and using nuclear weapons. And in the early days of the war, this was a spectacular success. For some reason, a ceasefire was quickly ordered, lasting over 2 months, despite scores of violations by Iran and as Hezbollah. Great damage has been done to Iran's military, and the president deserves enormous credit for having the courage to do it when no other president before him would do it. My fear is no other president after him will have the same courage to act in terms of any agreement that's violated. The words of Mark Levin. And he continued, from day one, I have underscored that no deal will be honored by the Iranian regime. I second that thought. And he adds, in my view, if the MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding, is not drastically altered during the 60-day negotiation period, forever war, a continuation of Iran's war to the West is not in doubt. Now, see, supposedly they're going to, over 60 days, work out details to make sure that Iran doesn't get a nuclear weapon. And they're not working on it now, supposedly. And yes, there probably will be a request for an extension after the 60 days. Mark Levin points out, upon signing of the MOU, there is an immediate and permanent end to the war, and that specifically should include Lebanon. He said, it makes no sense to give 60 days or more to negotiate this deal. We just declared a cessation of military action, and we're committed to not even threatening them. Why should we agree to immediately drop the most important leverage we have over the regime to comply with the MOU requirements and whatever date is decided in 60 days? Mark Levin continues, on top of this, we do the unthinkable. We capitulate to Iran's demand to protect Hezbollah. He said, we refrain from interfering in Iran's sovereignty, and they will not interfere with ours. He said, you wouldn't anyone believe Iran would drop out of any axis with China, Russia, North Korea? And how do we enforce this against other countries if we catch them doing it? He said, we lift the naval blockade 30 days after the MOU was signed. There goes a major leverage we have over the regime. We can always send our forces back, but in all likelihood, we would not. Those are the words of Mark Levin. And he adds, we commit to helping create a comprehensive plan for rehabilitating and the economic development of Iran. We're told it would not involve any U.S. money. That's a shiny object, though, $300 billion. He said, moreover, let's see if all conditions are met. They get the billions, and then they tell us, go to hell, which I would certainly expect they will. He said, who among us believe any of this is going to go to assisting or improving the lives of the Iranian people? He said, even as I write this, they're still executing young people. Mark Levin says, get this, we commit as a nation to not only lifting all sanctions we have on the regime, but helping lift other sanctions, including those by the United Nations, the International Atomic Energy Agency, I should say. Pointing out that Iran reiterates it will never produce nuclear weapons. That's what they say. Levin continues, we agree not to strengthen our forces in the region pending a final agreement. He said, as I go through these points, I keep shaking my head. With the signing of the MOU, we agree immediately to issue waivers of exports of Iranian crude oil and release frozen restricted funds. And then he adds, what's not in this agreement? Not a word about ballistic missiles, the most destructive weapon they currently have and have used. Not a word about promoting, funding terrorist groups and stopping them from doing it. Not a word about the Iranian people we promised to help. Not a word about the regime paying reparations to our country, Israel or others. And he concludes by saying, again, during the next 60 days, this MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, requires serious changes, if not outright abandonment. I will agree with him on almost all those points. But I do say it's a start. We will see how they react as the oil begins to flow and what they're doing with it, and if other countries come to their aid to give them $300 billion and how that's spent. We will see what they do to help their people. And I'm not for we are stopping the blockade, but I'm not for us pulling our forces completely out of the region. Our naval blockade, back off, not blocking ships, but stay ready, on the alert, lock and load. Coming up, the climate alarmists say the World Cup is going to possibly destroy Earth. And then in California, they want to give kids, minors, the rights to divorce their parents. But before that, Elon Musk, obviously a great visionary. He can make a lot of things happen. And it's not just a fantasy with Musk.
That's what SpaceX is all about. Is to take the fiction out of science fiction and create an exciting, inspiring future for everyone. We want to be able to take anyone who wants to go to the moon, anyone who wants to go to Mars, or anywhere in the solar system, and maybe beyond the solar system at some point. We want to be able to take you there. Not just a few astronauts. I mean you, literally you. Whoever you are watching this, SpaceX wants to be able to take you to the moon, take you to Mars, and ultimately beyond. And I'm confident at this point that with the incredible team that we have here at SpaceX, that we will do that for you.
SpaceX had its initial public offering the 12th of this month. Fixed offer of $135 a share. Record-breaking offering, raising $75 billion, making it the largest U.S. IPO in history. Have you bought any? I haven't checked the recent prices, but I will tell you this. Large IPOs have, according to, financial experts, have historically underperformed during their first year on the market. History saying $10,000 invested today will be worth less than $5,300 by June 2027. But I still think, and I'm saying this not as a financial advisor, I think if you can get a few shares, I don't consider it a gamble. Tesla, which Musk started, now selling at $400 a share. I would bet on Musk on this case. In the meantime, I mentioned the World Cup. FIFA is aware that extreme heat and humidity could affect the World Cup. And that's why this might be the final World Cup to be played in the summer. Yes, they do have hydration breaks so the teams can get plenty of water and hydration. That's just common sense for the team and our individual players. But now we got some environmentalists coming forward saying this is going to be hurting our nation, our globe, if we continue to have all of the jet travel during summer months for the sporting teams. That rules out, I guess, all the elites flying around in their private jets or any commercial jet traffic during the summer. As I mentioned also, Democrats in California now pushing a bill that would allow minor children to divorce their parents. What the hell else could go wrong? Don't want to miss tomorrow's program. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.